Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He girds me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us now in Jesus' name as we look to his word. Father, once again, we give you the glory, honor, and praise for all that you've done. Father, now as we look to the word of God, we pray once again for your mighty anointing to fill this place. Lord, bring us into a closer relationship with you and with each other. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Last week we began to look at one of the most beloved scriptures that there is. One that's commonly associated with funerals or in deathbeds or serious illnesses or in foxholes. When people are in trouble, one scripture that they often look to is the 23rd Psalm. In fact, there are many people who don't even profess Christ as Savior, but who know that psalm and even find comfort in that psalm. But that this psalm is not just a psalm, although it is a wonderful psalm to read at funerals or to think of when we're in tight spots. It is not one that should only minister to us under those circumstances, but should also be something that ministers to us every day as we live before the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about how the Lord is our shepherd, is our protector or our provider. He cares for us. And specifically, we looked at how God restores us. And bless God. You know, sometimes in life, we want to feel like we're made brand new again. How many ever want to feel that way? I know I do. Come on, now tell the truth. I forget who used to say that. I think a girl at Bible school. Shame the devil and tell the truth. But sometimes, you know, we just need to be refreshed. And the Bible says, as far as knowing the Good Shepherd, one of the things as far as God caring for us is that he restores our soul. And Scripture teaches us in this wonderful psalm how the Lord Jesus Christ restores our soul through the ministry of the Word of God, through the ministry of prayer and communion with the Holy Spirit, and through the ministry of righteousness, of living right before God. And let's never denigrate righteousness. There is blessings to righteousness, natural blessings as far as when we do the right things, good things happen. But when we live right before God in the name of Jesus, we open our lives up to the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ raining down upon us. It all comes through our relationship with the Good Shepherd. One mighty aspect of the ministry of the Good Shepherd, as we read in this scripture, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before he was crucified, told his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Comforter to come alongside you, to minister to you. Of course, on Pentecost Sunday, we think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We think and we teach, especially as a Pentecostal church, of that second work of grace, the infilling of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. That empowers us to a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't save us. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit gives us power to know God in a deeper way, to live before God in the way that God intended, and to be empowered to serve God in a more effective manner. Of course, as a Pentecostal church, we believe that the external evidence, as many internal evidences, is that of speaking in other unknown tongues and languages. But I think if there's one failure of the Pentecostal church, and I'm not trying to cast that at all, but in some churches anyways, is when we preach about the Holy Spirit, we preach, well, as long as you speak in tongues, you got it and you're all set and go on to heaven. Which I'm not trying to take away anything from that wonderful experience of seeking God, and then when the Holy Spirit fills you with His power and presence, you begin to speak in that unknown language. But there's a depth to knowing and being filled with the Holy Spirit that goes beyond just speaking in other tongues. And we do a disservice when we don't explore that in Scripture. And Psalm 23 explores that a little bit, and so I'd like to look at that this morning. This is an interesting psalm. It starts off very pleasant. The shepherd and the sheep and the green pastures and the still waters. It sounds so peaceful. You know, we think, you get the image of David, you know, playing his harp, or some shepherds would play a pipe, and, you know, the sun shining and the sky blue and everything just rosy. Very positive, very pleasant places of safety. And then all of a sudden there's a 180 degree turn in verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Although the presence of God is there and the blessing of God is there, the circumstances are different. It's not that nice, pleasant, pastoral picture. It's one of darkness, of danger, death, in adversity, showing us one of the main reasons for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, why our Good Shepherd has sent the Holy Spirit to minister to us, so that we, as His sheep, would survive in a hostile world. But not just survive, that we as God's sheep would thrive in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that is hostile against knowing and serving Jesus. Now you might be sitting there and saying, Pastor Randy, this is talking about the Good Shepherd. Where do you see the Holy Spirit in this? And I see it in the latter part of verse 5 in the reference to the anointing. You anoint my head with oil. Now, anointing was a very common practice in the Bible. People would anoint themselves or cover themselves with oil. The very hot, dry environment, and so the oil would keep their skin soft and supple. It would also act as something to help keep the moisture in their bodies. If an honored guest came to a person's home, if they wanted to show them special honor, they would anoint that person's head with oil, such as Mary did to Jesus. And of course, biblically speaking, as it related to worship of God, kings, prophets, priests, as they were consecrated for the special spiritual task they were called to do, they were anointed with oil. And the symbolism of that oil, where that oil signified, was the presence of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. One scripture that bears that out quite clearly is from Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness of prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The anointing, that which was done in the natural, symbolized in a religious sense, as it related to prophet, priest, and king, the presence of the Holy Spirit upon that individual's life and ministry. And the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God is part of the Good Shepherd's caring ministry in our lives. Because we need the Holy Spirit to face this world. There are two things in this world that are brought out in this psalm that we deal with. Verse 4 deals with danger. Once again, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Sounds like a very terrible place, the valley of the shadow of death. Kind of like a movie, you know, when you see someone and some great beast or someone is coming upon them and the shadow of them begins to cover them. And kind of the imagery there that we're given of the trouble that individuals feel. And of course, as this relates to shepherding, the shepherd, in order to bring sheep to pasture, would have to lead sheep through mountainous terrain to get to places of pasture, places where sunlight was obscured, places where it was dark. And so the sheep were more susceptible to danger, to getting lost, to getting hurt, to falling to a predator or a thief. Let me tell you, the world is a dangerous place. It's dangerous for everyone. Terrible things happen. You know, yesterday, a young girl that Henry was speaking of, 21 years old, Bonnie's granddaughter, Danielle, was taken from this life. It was taken from this world through the reckless acts, allegedly so, I guess, nothing. But through the reckless acts of an individual. Terrible. The world's a terrible place. Read about all the things that happen in the world. Famine, pestilence, earthquakes. We may not have a whole lot here, but in the world, earthquake is a very, very serious thing where tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people die in an instant. Disease. Man, we think of the enemy. And yes, as the enemy is out to get everyone, but especially you as a believer, he's out for you. Danger. But there's also the wicked heart of man. Look at what goes on in the world. Look at what some of the leaders of the countries that are out there, what they're doing to their own people. The world's a dangerous place. In verse 5 is interesting. The Bible says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Notice it doesn't say predators. I would think, as sheep, it would say predator. But when you think of an enemy, what are you thinking of? That could be translated adversary. Someone you are in contention with. Or someone you are at war with. The imagery is a little different here because we're more than just dumb sheep. Forgive the expression. We are soldiers under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether male or female, young or old, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are His soldier. You have been called to serve Him. And a soldier's life is one that is put at risk because it faces the enemy. We've been called as God's people to build the kingdom of God. It's God who does it. But we're the body of Christ. We're His hands, His feet, His mouth. We're the shoulder that people cry on. We're the words of encouragement. Although they're God's words, they come from our mouths. Preach, teach the Word of God. But we face an enemy who will at any corner, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, an evangelist, a missionary, will try to thwart your efforts by sowing into those lives of the people you're trying to sow in lies, deceit, discouragement. It's a struggle. Don't ever kid yourself. Ministry is important. Ministry is a blessing. There's no greater thing than to serve God. But if you minister, you will be challenged. It's a fight And according to this scripture, it's a fight to the death. And so, in facing these things, it's difficult. Because these things will sometimes wear against us as we try to serve Jesus. But that's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes in. One of the most powerful things in this scripture is in verse 5. I've read it before, but let me mention it again. Right? Regarding the ministry of the Good Shepherd, regarding the Holy Spirit whom He has sent, is He anoints our head with oil. Bless God. In fact, the literal translation, I believe, He makes fat our head with oil. He just smears, and the oil was a thick, almost like fat or grease. He just smears our head with oil in the name of Jesus. Because the battles we face as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are battles in the mind. They're out in the world, but they are resolved here. And they're basically on two fronts, two that I touched on. Number one, fear. Danger trying to encroach upon us, facing fear. Number two, discouragement. Every one of you who have done something for Jesus has been discouraged. You have fallen flat on your face. You might have poured your life into an individual and they walked away from you, from God, or walked away from you, or both. You suffered heartbreak. You encouraged and saw people make mistakes that they didn't have to make. You failed miserably. It happens. It's just part of life, but it's discouraging, and it can keep us from continuing to obey God. Listen, God hasn't called us to success, just obedience. But that's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes in. Two things come to mind when I think of the Holy Spirit's ministry to our head. Number one is joy. I read Isaiah 61 earlier. Let me read verse 3. Which talks about the anointing, regarding the anointing and the anointing to minister, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness or joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In fact, the Bible says, In the book of Acts, that the disciples or the apostles were men of joy, but not just any joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. What is joy? It's that feeling in your heart that makes you want to rejoice, to sing, to leap, to dance because you're so happy. Disciples were people who were marked with joy. They suffered many things. Hardship, difficulties, false accusations, sorrows. They saw many wonderful things, healings, deliverances, and things of that nature. But they were marked by joy, and it wasn't so much what was happening. It was because the Holy Ghost was in them and made them joyful. In Jesus' name, it was a supernatural thing. We need that. There are times where you get up and you are happy. You get good news. But there are times you might wake up and you receive terrible news. But that's where the ministry of the Good Shepherd comes in. Pouring in the oil of gladness, where you can lift up your hands and say, "Bless God, hallelujah. My heart is filled with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Not because of this I'm facing, because of you in me." And also think, just briefly, regarding the mind of the ministry of knowledge, 1 John 2:27, "As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him." It's a strong assault in our lives, not just against our joy, but our understanding. From the moment you get up, because this world, and what is this? Who is in charge of this world? The Bible says the god of this world is Satan. And the spirit that's in this world, or a spirit that is in this world, is the spirit of Antichrist. From the moment you get up, the time you go to bed, you are under assault from the Antichrist. And that which is trying to persuade you away from serving Jesus and buying into the garbage of the world. That there's salvation in another name other than Jesus. Or that you don't need salvation at all. It's in the media. It's at your job and its policies. It can be in your family. The books that you read. Everywhere there's an assault. I don't know, but I can tell you there are times in my life where I knew I was doing the right thing, but everyone else thought I was doing the wrong thing, and I thought I was going crazy. Have you ever felt that way? The Holy Spirit in a world that is in every way around us telling us that we're wrong. We're wrong. You're wrong to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him. You're wrong to believe in the infallibility and the inspiration of Scripture. You're wrong to believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and only through Christ can you reach that place called heaven. You're a fool to live righteously before God. Live as your heart tells you. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we're not insane. And puts into perspective all the very persuasive arguments. And they are persuasive. And reinforces truth within our minds. Lastly, and quickly this morning, is the ministry of the rod, which is also, I believe, a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Latter part of verse 4. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Now, when we think of that, often we think of correction. I wish Henry was a little closer. Thank you. And there is the discipline aspect of God. He loves us, and so whom God loves, He disciplines or chastens, as Scripture says. But there's another aspect as far as the rod. Regarding Jesus, the Bible says He will rule with what? A rod of iron. A rod is a signal of, or symbol of authority. The shepherd has authority over the sheep. He has authority over the sheep, not just in the sheep pen, not just in the property of the owner, but in the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of the enemies of God. We're in the enemy's territory. We're living in this world, but bless God, we're not of this world. And we're not under the authority of the enemy. We're not subject to him, which means we're no longer, because Jesus Christ is in our lives, no longer subject to sin. I don't have to live life bound by sin anymore. I've been set free through the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit has empowered me to rise above sin. In Jesus' name. I don't have to live life in bondage. You know, one way the enemy, if he can't get you to sin, he'll try to get you bound up in legalism. Taste not, touch not. And I'm not talking about true righteousness. I'm talking about the dogma of men. And what the dogma of men is nothing short than bondage. And there's no joy in bondage. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. I'm not under the authority of bondage. I'm under the authority of Jesus, my good shepherd. Even sickness. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that if you're a Christian, you should never be sick. Because obviously Christians do get sick. But bless God, my hope and my future isn't in the hands of the doctors. I thank God for my doctors. And I pray for them and pray God's blessing on them. And I hope I'm a great witness to them. But my ultimate hope is in the great physician. And I know he has the final say with what's going on in my body in the name of Jesus. Because I'm under his authority, not the authority of man or any other. We also, because we're following the Good Shepherd, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules with that rod of iron. We operate under his authority. Let me tell you, any pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet, apostle, or any other aspect of service in the kingdom of God who says they can do it is either a liar or worthless. Because ministry, if it's to be accomplished, can only be accomplished effectively if it's empowered by God. The sheep don't carry the rod. The shepherd carries the rod. Our shepherd is our authority. In fact, my friend, if you climb into any pulpit or stand before any person in a teaching or ministering capacity and you don't go before God and ask God for his touch upon your life, his anointing, his empowerment, his authority, you shortchange yourself. You shortchange that person you're ministering to. Because we need Jesus. We need his empowerment. And yes, you know, it's nice when people can jump up and down and scream like sometimes people do. But let me tell you, anointing is not hype. And you can be the quietest, most soft-spoken person. Pleasant, and not raise your voice, keep it within a certain number of decibels, and it be just as powerful, just as anointed, just as effective as the preacher who, you know, does this type of thing. This is the first time I've done that. Amen. Lastly, regarding the authority, this is something very serious. I almost, because of the time, feel to close, but I do want to mention this. Because you are under God's authority, you have authority over the enemy. You have authority over the enemy. Matthew 10, verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, this is something that is very serious and should be approached very soberly. As a young guy, believe it or not, I was never a guy who went out looking for a fight. I know that might be a shock to some of you, you know, big guy and all, you know. But I never looked for a fight. If I needed to stand up for myself, I would. But I never went looking for a fight. I don't even remember being in a fight. I never remember throwing a punch or being hit by anyone. Thank God. I like my face too much. I don't know. I just don't see what the purpose is. I don't know. But, and we don't need to be looking for fights. We don't need to be searching out evil. But evil is out there. And as we live our lives before the Lord Jesus Christ under the direction of the Holy Spirit, God, through the gift of discernment of spirits, will let you know sometimes when there are evil influences or when an evil presence is there. But you know, when God lets you know that, it's not for you to turn tail and run and say, I better get out of here. He's letting you know so that you can deal with him it them in the name of Jesus, because He has given us authority over unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't want to gloss over this. This is one reason why I struggled with sharing this. Dealing with demonic forces is very serious. People who did so unprepared met with either failure. In fact, unbelievers met with doom. But the disciples in Matthew 18, I believe, met a boy who was possessed by a demon and could not cast that demon out. And the reason, Jesus said, was because of lack of prayer and fasting. You have to be at the top of your game. And what I mean, you need to be walking closely with Jesus if you're going to live under that authority in the name of Jesus. But friends, let me share with you the time that we live. And our musicians, you may come. Demonic activity is increasing. And as Scripture says, as we draw closer to the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will become even greater and greater. Which means there's going to be a greater need within the body of Christ and the world for deliverance ministries. But it can happen because we are under the authority of the Good Shepherd. Amen? We're under His rod. When I face a demon spirit, I don't face him by myself. I have no rod. But there's a rod that's over me in the name of Jesus, which brings victory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.